Chapter 53. 2. In a letter to Archbishop King of the same date, Swift says he was quality caressed by both parties, by one as a sort of bow for drowning men to lay hold of, and by the other as one discontented with the late men in power. 3. The Earl of Godolphin, who was severely satirized by Swift in his Cid Hamet's Rod, 171-0. He had been ordered to break his staff as treasurer on August 8th. Swift told Archbishop King that Godolphin was altogether short, dry, and morose. 4. Martha, widow of Sir Thomas Gifford, Bart, of County Kildare, the favorite sister of Sir William Temple, had been described by Swift in early Pindaric verses as ice and great. Afterwards he was to call her an old beast. Journal, November 11, 1171-0. Their quarrel arose, towards the close of 1709, out of a difference with regard to the publication of Sir William Temple's works. On the appearance of Vol. V. Lady Gifford charged Swift with publishing portions of the writings from an unfaithful copy in lieu of the originals in his possession, and in particular with printing laudatory notices of Godolphin and Sunderland which Temple intended to omit, and with omitting an unfavorable remark on Sunderland which Temple intended to print. Swift replied that the corrections were all made by Temple himself. 5. Lord Wharton's second wife, Lucy, daughter of Lord Lisburn. She died in 1716, a few months after her husband. See Lady M. W. Montagu's letters. 6. Mrs. Bridget Johnson, who married, as her second husband, Ralph Moser Moss, of Farnham, an agent for Sir William Temple's estate, was waiting woman or companion to Lady Gifford. In her will 1722, Lady Gifford left Mrs. Moss £20, with my silver cup and cover. Mrs. Moss died in 1745, when letters of administration were granted to a creditor of the deceased. 7. Dr. William King, 165-0-1729, a Whig and High Churchman, had more than one difference with Swift during the 20 years following Swift's first visit to London in connection with the First Fruits question. 8. Swift's benefice, in the Diocese of Meath, 2 miles from Trim. 9. Steele, who had been issuing the Tatler thrice weekly since April 1709. He lost the gazetteership in October. 10. James, 2nd Duke of Ormond, 1665-1745, was appointed Lord Lieutenant on the 26th of October. In the following year he became Captain General and Commander-in-Chief. He was impeached of high treason and attended in 1715, and he died in exile. 11. P. Presto, substituted by the original editor for DFR, was suggested by a passage in the Journal for August 2, 1711 where Swift says that the Duchess of Shrewsbury old not say my name in English, but said Dr. Presto, which is Italian for Swift. 12. Charles Jervas, the popular portrait painter, has left 2 portraits of Swift, one of which is in the National Portrait Gallery, and the other in the Bodleian Library. 13. Sir William Temple's nephew, and son of Sir John Temple, died 1704, solicitor, and attorney general, and speaker of the Irish House of Commons. Jack Temple acquired the estate of Moor Park, Surrey, by his marriage with Elizabeth, granddaughter of Sir William Temple, and elder daughter of John Temple, who committed suicide in 1689. As late as 1706, Swift received an invitation to visit Moor Park. 14. Dr. Benjamin Pratt, Provost of Trinity College, Dublin, was appointed Dean of Down in 1717. Swift calls him person of wit and learning, and gentleman of good birth and fortune, dot very much esteemed among us. Short character of Thomas, Earl of Wharton. On his death in 1721, Swift wrote, "He was one of the oldest acquaintance I had, and the last that I expected to die. He has left a young widow, in very good circumstances. He had schemes of long life. Dot dot dot, what a ridiculous thing is man. Unpublished Letters of Dean Swift, 1899, page 106. 15. A Westmeath landlord, whom Swift met from time to time in London. The Lees were well acquainted with Esther Johnson. 16. Dr. Enoch Stern, appointed Dean of St. Patrick's, Dublin, in 1704. Swift was his successor in the deanery on Dr. Stern's appointment as Bishop of Dromore in 1713. In 1717, Stern was translated to the Bishopric of Clare. He spent much money on the cathedrals, etc., with which he was connected. 17. Archdeacon Walls was rector of Castle Knock, near Trim. Esther Johnson was a frequent visitor at his house in Queen Street, Dublin. 18. William Frankland, controller of the Inland Office at the Post Office, was the second son of the Postmaster General, Sir Thomas Frankland, Bart. Luttrell, Vi. 333, records that in 1708 he was made treasurer of the Stamp Office, or, according to Chamberlain's Mag. Brit. Notitia for 171-0, Receiver General. 19. Thomas Wharton, Earl and afterwards Marquis of Wharton, had been one of Swift's fellow travellers from Dublin. Lord Lieutenant of Ireland under the Whig government, from 1708 to 171-0, Wharton was the most thorough-going party man that had yet appeared in English politics, and his political enemies did not fail to make the most of his well-known immorality. In his notes to Mackey's characters, Swift described Wharton as the most universal villain that ever I knew. On his death in 1715, he was succeeded by his profligate son, Philip, who was created Duke of Wharton in 1718. 20. This money was a premium the government had promised Beaumont for his mathematical slaying tables, calculated for the improvement of the linen manufacture. 21. The bellman was both town crier and night watchman. Letter 3. 1. Dr. William Cockburn, 1669-1739, Swift's physician, of a good Scottish family, was educated at Leiden. He invented an electuary for the cure of fluxes, and in 173-0, in the danger of improving physic, satirized the academical physicians who envied him the fortune he had made by his secret remedy. He was described in 1729 as an old very rich quack. 2. Sir Matthew Dudley, Bart. An old Whig friend, was MP for Huntingdonshire, and Commissioner of the Customs from 1706 to 1712 and again under George I, until his death in 1721. 3. Isaac Manley, who was appointed Postmaster General in Ireland in 1703. Luttrell, V333, he had previously been controller of the English Letter Office, a post in which he was succeeded by William Frankland, son of Sir Thomas Frankland. Dunton calls Manley oil and acute. 4. Sir Thomas Frankland was joint Postmaster General from 1691 to 1715. He succeeded to the baronetcy on the death of his father, Sir William Frankland, in 1697, and he died in 1726. Mackey described Sir Thomas as of a sweet and easy disposition, zealous for the Constitution, yet not forward, and indulgent to his dependents. On this Swift comments, this is a fair character. 5. Theophilus Butler, elected M. P. for Cavan, in the Irish Parliament, in 1703 and for Belturbet as he write on. Theophilus Butler, in 1713. On May 3, 171-0, Luttrell wrote Brief Relation of State Affairs, Vi. 577, to set the Earl of Montrath, Lord Viscount Mountjoy. And Mr. Butler will be made Privy Councillors of the Kingdom of Ireland. Butler, a contemporary of Swift's at Trinity College, Dublin, was created Baron of Newtown Butler in 1715, and his brother, who succeeded him in 1723, was made Viscount Lanesborough. Butler's wife was Amelia, eldest daughter and co-heir of James Stopford, of Tara, County Meath. 6. Number 193 of the Tatler, for July 4, 1710 contained a letter from Downes the prompter, not by Steele himself, in ridicule of Harley and his proposed ministry. 7. Charles Roberts, 2nd Earl of Radnor, who died in 1723. In the journal for December 30, 1711, Swift calls him scoundrel. 8. Benjamin Hook, Swift's bookseller or publisher, lived at the Middle Temple Gate. Dunton wrote of him, "He is truly honest, a man of refined sense, and is unblemished in his reputation." Hook died in 1723. 9. Swift's servant, of whose misdeeds he makes frequent complaints in the journal. 10. Deputy Vice Treasurer of Ireland. In one place Swift calls him Captain Pratt, and in all probability he is the John Pratt who, as we learn from Dalton's English Army lists, was appointed captain in General Earl's regiment of foot in 1699, and was out of the regiment by 1706. In 1702 he obtained the Queen's leave to be absent from the regiment when it was sent to the West Indies. Pratt seems to have been introduced to Swift by Addison. 11. Charles Ford, of Wood Park, near Dublin, was a great lover of the opera, and a friend of the Tory wits. He was appointed gazetteer in 1712. Gay calls him Oyas Ford, and he was given to overindulgence in conviviality. See Swift's poem on Stella at Wood Park. 12. Lord Somers, to whom Swift had dedicated the Tale of a Tub, with high praise of his public and private virtues. In later years Swift said that Somers possessed all excellent qualifications except virtue. 13. At the Foundation, School of the Ormonds at Kilkenny. See note 22. 14. A Whig haberdasher. 15. Benjamin Hoadley, the Whig divine, had been engaged in controversy with Sacheverell, Blackall, and Atterbury. After the accession of George I, he became Bishop of Bangor, Hereford, Salisbury, and Winchester in success. 16. Dr. Henry Sacheverell, whose impeachment and trial had led to the fall of the Whig government. 17. Sir Berkeley Lucy, Bart. F.R.S., married Catherine, daughter of Charles Cotton, of Beresford, Staffordshire, Isaac Walton's friend. Lady Lucy died in 174, leaving an only surviving daughter, Mary, who married the youngest son of the Earl of Northampton, and had two sons, who became successively 7th and 8th Earls of Northampton. Forster and others assumed that Addie Lucy was a Lady Lucy Stanhope, though they were not able to identify her. It was reserved for Mr. Ryland to clear up this difficulty. As he points out, Lady Lucy's elder sister, Olive, married George Stanhope, Dean of Canterbury, and left a daughter Mary, Swift's Al Stanhope, a beauty and a madcap, who married, in 1712, William Burnett, son of Bishop Burnett, and died in 1714. Mary, another sister of Lady Lucy's, married Augustine Armstrong, of Great Ormond Street, and is the Mrs. Armstrong mentioned by Swift on February 3, 1711 as a pretender to wit, without taste. Sir Berkeley Lucy's mother was a daughter of the first Earl of Berkeley, and it was probably through the Berkeleys that Swift came to know the Lucy's. 18. Anne Long was sister to Sir James Long, and niece to Colonel Strangeways. Once a beauty and toast of the Kit Kat Club, she fell into narrow circumstances through imprudence and the unkindness of her friends, and retired under the name of Mrs. Smythe to Lynn, in Norfolk, where she died in 1711. See Journal, December 25, 1711. Swift said, "She was the most beautiful person of the age she lived in, of great honor and virtue, infinite sweetness and generosity of temper, and true good sense." Forster Swift, 229. In a letter of December 1711 Swift wrote that she had every valuable quality of body and mind that could make a lady loved and esteemed. 19. Said, "I know not on what authority, to be Swift's friend, Mrs. Barton, but Mrs. Barton is often mentioned by Swift as living in London in 1710-11. 20. One of Swift's cousins, who was separated from her husband, a man of bad character, living abroad. Her second husband, Lancelot, a servant of Lord Sussex, lived in New Bond Street, and there Swift lodged in 1727. 21. £100,000. 22. Francis Stratford's name appears in the Dublin University Register for 1686 immediately before Swift's. Budgell is believed to have referred to the friendship of Swift and Stratford in The Spectator, number 353, where he describes two schoolfellows, and says that the man of genius was buried in a country parsonage of £160 a year, while his friend, with the bare abilities of a common scrivener, had gained an estate of above £100,000. 23. William Cowper, afterwards Lord Cowper. 24. Sir Simon Harcourt, afterwards Viscount Harcourt, had been counsel for Sacheverell. On September 19, 1710, he was appointed Attorney General, and on October 19th Lord Keeper of the Great Seal. In April 1713 he became Lord Chancellor. 25. This may be some relative of Dr. John Freind, see letter 9, or, more probably, as Sir Henry Craik suggests, a misprint for Colonel Froude, Addison's friend, see journal, November 4, 1710. No officer named Freind or Friend is mentioned in Dalton's English Army lists. 26. See the Tatler, Nose. 124-203. There are various allusions in the Wentworth papers to this, the first state lottery of 1710, and two bluecoat boys drawing out the tickets, and showing their hands to the crowd, as Swift describes them, are shown in a reproduction of a picture in a contemporary pamphlet given in Ashton's Social Life in the Reign of Queen Anne, I 115. 27. A few weeks later Swift wrote, I took a fancy of resolving to grow mad for it, but now it is off. 28. Sir John Holland, Bart, was a leading manager for the Commons in the impeachment of Sacheverell. He succeeded Sir Thomas Felton in the controllership in March 1710. 29. Dryden Leach. See letter 7. 30. William Pate, Bellesprit and Woolen Draper, as Swift called him, lived opposite the Royal Exchange. He was Sheriff of London in 1734, and died in 1746. Arbuthnot, previous to matriculating at Oxford, lodged with Pate, who gave him a letter of introduction to Dr. Charlotte, Master of University College, and Pate is supposed to have been the Woolen Draper, remarkable for his learning and good nature, who is mentioned by Steele in The Guardian, No. 141. 31. James Bridges, son of Lord Chandos of Sudley, was appointed Paymaster-General of Forces abroad in 1707. He succeeded his father as Baron Chandos in 1714, and was created Duke of Chandos in 1729. The princely Chandos and his house at Cannon suggested to Pope the Timon's villa of the Pistol to Lord Burlington. The Duke died in 1744. 32. Charles Talbot, created Duke of Shrewsbury in 1694, was held in great esteem by William III, and was Lord Chamberlain under Anne. In 1713 he became Lord Lieutenant of Ireland, and held various offices under George I, until his death in 1718. Ever he was O.H., says Macaulay, he was allowed to be one of the finest gentlemen, and finest scholars of his time. 33. See No. 23-0. 34. William Cavendish, 2nd Duke of Devonshire 1673-1729, who was Lord Steward from 1707 to 1710, and from 1714 to 1716. Afterwards he was Lord President of the Council. Swift's comment on Mackey's character of this Whig nobleman was, a very poor understanding. 35. J. John Annesley, 4th Earl of Anglesea, a young nobleman of great promise, had only recently been appointed joint vice-treasurer, receiver-general, and paymaster of the forces in Ireland, and sworn of the Privy Council. 36. Nichols, followed by subsequent editors, suggested that Erm was a mistake for Ain't David's, because Dr. George Bull, Bishop of St. David's, died in 1710. But Dr. Bull died on February 17, 1771, though his successor, Dr. Philip Biss, was not appointed until November, and Swift was merely repeating a false report of the death of Lord Crewe, Bishop of Durham, which was current on the day on which he wrote. Luttrell says, on September 19, the Lord Crewe died lately, but on the 23rd he adds, the Bishop of Durham is not dead as reported, brief relation, vi. 63-633-37. Lady Elizabeth Eddy Butler, who died unmarried in 175-038. Swift wrote in 1734, once every year I issued out an edict, commanding that all ladies of wit, sense, merit, and quality, who had an ambition to be acquainted with me, should make the first advances at their peril. Which edict, you may believe, was universally obeyed. 39. Charles, 2nd Earl of Berkeley, 1649-171, married Elizabeth, daughter of Baptist Noel, Viscount Campden. The Earl died on September 24, 1771, and his widow in 1719. Swift, it will be remembered, had been chaplain to Lord Berkeley in Ireland in 1699. 40. Lady Betty and Lady Mary Butler. See Letter 7, Notes 2 and 3. 41. Henry Boyle, Chancellor of the Exchequer from 1702 to 1708, was Secretary of State from 1708 to 171, when he was succeeded by St. John. In 1714 he was Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.